Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I'm excited to have Michelle Gordon as my guest today. Join us for 30 minutes of inspiration to go for your dreams and encouragement to live your music in your own unique ways. Hello, Michelle. Are you there?
Hi, I am here, yeah.
What was that?
All the way from Sedona. I'm here,
you're in Sedona, Arizona. Oh, my gosh. I've always wanted to go there.
So if we have any interruptions, it's the vortexes. It's, you know.
Oh, I am so excited to have you on the show today, and I'm so glad that John asked me to have you on the show. I had not even heard of you before.
No, not
John. excuse me, John Masalonis suggested, suggested I have you on your show, and I am reading your book, The Earth Angel Training Academy. I had not heard of it before, and I had just finished reading another book about Earth Angels just before I started reading this one. So Earth Angels have definitely been on my mind. And I have to say I am really, really enjoying the book, and I'm not quite halfway through, and at this point I'm at getting to the point where I don't want to put it down, so can't wait to find out what's going to happen.
I have been told that they're a little bit addictive.
That's
people
the
have
only
stayed up
danger.
Through the night.
Yeah, that's the only danger with books that are so good is I get addicted to them and I don't want to put them down, you know. So, but yeah, it's good in a fun way. I have so many questions that I would like to know the answers to, and also I'm sure that my listeners would like to know the answers to. And the first one is, why did you wish to become a writer and author, and what guided you to the topic and subject of angels?
Well, I've been writing and wanting to be an author since I was about 8 years old. You know, I was writing short stories for school and outside of school, and I read so many books. I was just reading all of the time. I was always lost in some other world. And then when I was 10, 11, I started writing poetry. And then in my teens, I was writing longer stories. And I wrote my novella that I published called Heaven.com when I was, I wrote that when I was 16. And
what
was
that? I'm sorry, I didn't catch what you said.
Sorry. It's called Heaven.com. It's a novella, and it's about life after death. And I realized that all of my writing was all about spiritual subjects, life after death, spirits, angels. And quite often I would find stuff that I'd written, and it was in my handwriting, but I didn't remember writing it. And I was a teenager. I didn't really think much of it at the time, but later on, I realized that I was channeling a lot of stuff without really noticing that that's what I was doing. But for about 8 to 10 years, I kind of just did normal jobs, and I was very much kind of switched off from all the spiritual stuff. And it wasn't until I was 20 then that I met a healer who was a psychic medium as well. And he opened the door again. He switched everything back on, and I sort of woke up at that point. But not that I've been sort of aware and awake the whole time. I have kind of had periods of time where I'm, unaware again. But I started writing the novel, so The Earth Angel Training Academy. I wrote that in 2009. And the Earth Angel concept was something that I'd found in 2007. And I really resonated with all the different types of Earth Angels. And I realized that the people around me were Earth Angels and that I was an Earth Angel. So when it came to writing my first novel, it seemed like the perfect subject. It just kind of happened. And then I sat down, and 2 months later, that book existed.
That's amazing. What a cool story.
I literally, once I opened the door, it just flooded through, and I was just in that world. And the sort of strangest thing about the way that I write is that I don't plot it, I don't plan it, but also I don't have to rewrite or restructure or edit much afterwards either. So, you know, you got the sort of continuity stuff and just checking typos and things, but generally
right.
the stories don't change. And that is quite weird. You know, most people, you know, they write the first draft and it needs completely restructuring and rewriting, and but the
right.
stories just come through and they're in the right order and they're all, you know, everything's there. And it doesn't have to be altered. Some of my later books I've done a little bit more editing on, but really they, in fact, the faster they come through, the less editing they need. So if I can get out of my own mind, you know, if I can get out of my own way and I just let the words come through, it's a lot better than if I start thinking about what I'm writing.
You know, it sounds like that's what's happening, is that when you're doing that, then you're writing from inspiration instead of
mm-hmm.
motivation. You're writing from being in spirit. And, wow, that, you know, reading the book, I can tell that it just, it's written from your heart or from spirit or whatever. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
just so amazing. The story is so amazing. Now I can't wait for having my brother, and my brother Dwayne loves to read about angels too. And
mm-hmm.
my husband is real interested in angels. In fact, they were both reading a book that I suggested to them called Musings of an Earth Angel. And
right, okay.
What was that?
Yeah, I've not heard of that. I'll have to look it up.
It's a new one. It's a first novel by a woman that I heard on the Hay House World Summit, and her name's Suzanne Adams, and she's going to write a trilogy of books about Musings of an Earth Angel, and it's based on her own experiences. A real interesting book. But she hasn't written the other two, and so it was like perfect timing, though, for me to start reading yours right after I read hers, because it was like I wanted more, and it's going to be a while probably till she writes more about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got your book started to read it for the show, and now you're right. I mean, it's like now I'm having a hard time putting it down. But you,
yes.
What impact did Doreen Virtue and Neil Donald Walsh have on your writing and your career? I'm curious about that.
Well, Doreen Virtue's books is how I discovered the idea of Earth Angels in the first place. So her Realms of the Earth Angels in its second edition, I think it was by then. I'd seen the first edition and didn't click with it, which was quite funny. Somehow came across the second edition of it, and I read it, and that resonated. So it's funny how things come at the right time. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, the first edition that I saw came to me and I wasn't open to it. I wasn't in that space. So I read about all the different types of Earth Angels and recognized myself, recognized my friends, my family, realized why some relationships I had that were tougher than others, you know,
mm-hmm.
had all these realizations.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 years later wrote the Earth Angel Training Academy. And the reason I wrote that story was because I was thinking, well, if there's all these people on Earth who were formerly angels and fairies and mer people and star people, then they must have had some training, some help or something before being incarnated into human form
mm-hmm.
to learn what it is like to be human, because it's so different to what they're used to.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of just playing with that idea and playing with that concept. And Neil Donald Walsh's books, when I was in a sort of waking up phase in 2007 was quite sort of, a lot of stuff happened then.
Mm-hmm.
I had resisted up until that point reading his books because of the word God in his book, The Conversations with
God.
I did too
at
yeah.
first because of that.
Yeah, I resisted it big time. And just one day I saw it in the bookstore and I just thought, I need to read it. I have no idea why I thought that. I have no idea why I picked it up, but I did.
Uh-huh.
And it just blew me away. And I read like everything of his that I could get my hands on.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite of his books is Home with God, because it's all the different concepts about death. And of course I was writing so much about life after death and everything, you know,
mm-hmm.
it just kind of really clicked with me. And in 2007, I had my own kind of little conversation, and during that conversation, one of the responses was, "You're going to meet Neil Donald Walsh," and I was like, "Yeah, right," because at the time it seemed so impossible, it seemed so crazy that
mm-hmm.
yeah, I just wrote it off. I didn't even think about it, and a year later, I did meet him.
Mm-hmm.
But when I met him, this is the funniest part. When I met him, I was in one of my sleep phases. And I'd forgotten about the conversation. So that I'd had saying that I was going to meet him. And I, when I met him, it was at a talk and a signing that he did in New York, where I was living at the time. And I stood there, and I knew there was something that I needed to say to him, and I couldn't remember what it was.
I hate that when that
happens. And I literally found the conversation written in a notebook a week later.
Mm.
And I was just like, oh, man, that was what I wanted to say to him, that I'd had this conversation and that, you know, we were going to meet. So 5 years later, after that, in 2013, I attended one of his retreats in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a 4.5-day retreat, and, you know, you got... you know, to chat and converse with him. And I told him that whole story. I was just like, you know, I had this conversation and then I've got. And then he read the Essential Training Academy. So the new edition, the 5-year anniversary edition, I've just put part of his review on the back.
Cool.
Yeah, he said he really enjoyed it. And in fact, I gave him the copy only because he asked me for it as well. It was quite funny. We were talking and he said, oh, well, I want to read that. So I gave him a copy and he had it on the Saturday, and then Sunday morning on the last day of the retreat, he was, you know, basically telling me off because he'd stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning to read my book because he couldn't put it down. And I was just like, oops, sorry about that.
I have to admit, I was tempted to read more of it when I was supposed to be preparing for the show today, you know.
I just recently had another lady who bought it in New York when we were there, and she was just like, I had to stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning to finish it. I couldn't go to sleep. So, their work has really had a huge impact on what I write about, and even just waking me up and helping me to remember. And then in turn, my books are also doing that, because what I found through writing fiction is that some people will pick up my books for the story and then get interested in their books, you know, and in the nonfiction side of it, because they're people who would never go to the mind, body, spirit section of a bookstore. But after reading the story, they think, oh, there's something about that that really resonates with me. I'm going to look into that, and they start reading more about it. So my books are kind of they appeal to people who are just starting to wake up, who are just starting to, you know, there's been a few people actually that have said to me, like, you know, reading your book was the beginning of this spiritual path for me. I really wasn't open to it before, but in story form, it was easier to get into it.
You know, that is so true. And, you know, it's full of reminders also, though. It's full of reminders, and it's also full of reminders to feel the fear and do it anyway, to feel the excitement and do it anyway, to get out there and to realize how we can maybe help people if we're willing to go past our comfort zones and do some of the things that we feel called to do, instead of just thinking, oh, I'm not special, I shouldn't try to do that. I mean, who am I to think that I can host a radio show or sing a song or write a book or whatever it is that people want to do. And, you know, the time is just flying by. And I just, before we get going talking about the rest of the questions I have for you, I just want my listeners to start thinking about what music they hear calling them. What music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limiting beliefs and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. And I'm so glad that you wrote this book, and I'm so glad that John asked me to have you on the show. I'm thankful for that. Thank you, John. And I'd like to have you share with our listeners, though, a little bit about the release of your most recent book, the 5-year anniversary edition. I can't talk. I'll let you talk. Edition of the Earth Angel Training Academy.
Yeah, so it was 5 years ago, July 1st, actually, that I published the first edition of the Earth Angel Training Academy, which, you know, had a very different cover and, to be honest, was still full of typos. Because I was very much doing it all independently. You know, I did everything myself, pretty much. And I launched it at a dragon festival in West Wales. And it was, that time, you know, I was kind of realizing my dream of being an author. I've always, you know, I've always wanted to write, always wanted to be an author, but I wrote it off for a long time when I was younger because the whole publishing industry just seemed too crazy. You know, the chances of getting published were so slim. You know,
mm-hmm.
I read
yeah.
so many articles about, you know, it's really hard to get published. And I was writing books that didn't really even have a genre. You know,
right.
they didn't have a section in the bookstore and nobody's interested in that. You know, it's, you know, even now, most of the spiritual fiction that exists, it's in the mind, body, spirit nonfiction section. It's just kind of lumped in there, or it's in the fantasy section or science fiction or, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the visionary fiction, I call it spiritual fiction or visionary fiction, you know, as a genre, it's starting to grow. I mean, you know, there are starting to be more categories to be able to put the books into. So, yeah, so I just, you know, I thought, well, the only way to get this out there, and to be honest, I only really, I write as my own form of therapy because
right.
it's like, it helps
I
me
do
make
too.
Sense of things. Yeah.
You're right.
But at
it
the
helps
same
keep
time,
me sane.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, when I haven't written for a long time, I'm like a crazy person. But I also didn't want to just write just for myself. I wanted to get the stuff out there. I wanted to be an author. It was, you know, it was what I wanted
right.
to do. So I figured the only way to do that was to do it myself. And so in 2011, I published The Earth Angel Training Academy and just started getting it out there and launching it. And as people were reading it, they wanted to know what happened next. So I wrote the sequel, which was not at all what I imagined was going to happen next, but it's what came through, so I went with it. And then things just started growing from there. I've written four other books in a collection, a visionary collection, and they're all individual stories, and they're about life after death and parallel universes and all that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And I just, yeah, I suppose as my sort of readership grew, they kind of shaped what was going to happen as well, because I never envisioned the Earth Angel series to be a series. Originally, it was just the one book. It was just the Academy. And then when I did the sequel, I was just like, okay, that's pretty cool. I can, you know, there's more ideas. I can grow from that. And
right.
the next one was meant to be a prequel, which ended up being something completely different. We'll get into the story of that. And
yeah.
then the next three books in the series, there's six so far in the series. And this, I think there's going to be 13, but we'll see what comes through because I don't have a huge amount of control over what comes through. And those books, the last three in the series so far, were born of a conversation with one of my readers. And I said, like, you know, what is it that intrigues you the most about the stories? What is it that you would want to read about
mm-hmm.
them? And she said that it was the twin flame relationships that she wanted to know more about. The twin flame relationships.
Oh, the twin flame relationships, yeah.
She wanted to know more about what happened on Earth when the twin flames began to reunite. So then the twin flame books, which are part of the series, started happening. So there's three of them so far. There's another one out at Christmas. And there's another three twin flame books to come. And those books are taking the characters from the first book, the characters you're reading about right now,
mm-hmm.
and going more into detail. They become the main characters, and you read in more detail about how they reunite with the twin flames and how they each remember each other from the Academy and how everything gets pieced together. So it's just been really good fun writing those later books, and I'm writing the eighth one at the moment.
You're writing the eighth one? So the series of six of the Earth Angel series, that's not all of them that are already... Oh, my gosh.
So there's six so far. The seventh will be out at Christmas. I'm writing the eighth one, and I want there to be 13. Because,
you know,
13
the
is one of my favorite numbers.
The other thing I noticed, though, is when I first started reading it, it reminded me a little bit of the Harry Potter series, how it took off, you know, because it brought all the magic into life. But I like yours better, to tell you the truth, because it's about angels, about earth angels and fairies and all these fun things, and about helping the earth, too. You know, I felt like with the Harry Potter series, I read I think the first couple books because our son was reading them at the time,
mm-hmm.
and I was curious, and it was real interesting, but it really didn't feel like something I wanted to read all of them, but I'm really enjoying yours, and so, oh God, now there's going to be a lot of books to read.
Well, the funny thing is, I mean, a lot of people have said that, you know, it reminds them of Harry Potter, because obviously it's the school aspect, you know, the academy, and I
right.
think it was quite funny, really, because it's almost... the opposite idea to Harry Potter. Instead of having muggles, humans, learning magic, you have magical beings learning how to be human. So it's
You're right. It is. Which I find really fascinating. I really love it. Now, I want to make sure we have time for this because I think this is really an interesting thing I want to hear your answer to. How is the recent transition of beautiful creative earth angels like David Bowie and Prince, and then also I added in Keith Emerson from Emerson, Lake and Palmer, how is that going to help the collective consciousness awaken even more to the truth?
I think in some ways, in their passing, in their, you know, going home, I don't really call it sort of death anymore because I don't believe that that's the end.
I don't either. In fact,
you know,
it really annoys me when people call it that because it feels so true that it's not the end. But
yeah, it's definitely not the end. And I think, I mean, they're definitely having a bit of a party up there. But I think in some ways their passing brings their work to light more. And I know that, you know, it's kind of crazy that that has to happen, that, you know, somebody can't just be, you know, living their dream and making it happen and people being aware and, you know, really being into it. And they had a lot of fans and a lot of people loving them. But I think even people who weren't fans when they were alive, when they passed, it was such a huge sort of shift that even people who'd never really thought about it or never really listened to their music or looked at their work or became aware of it. And I think in their, you know, in their transition, they've actually made a lot more people aware of what they were about than before. I mean, I have to admit, I mean, obviously I know Prince's music, but I never realized how spiritual he was. I honestly, you know, I didn't know that either. Exactly. So people who were not aware of that aspect of him are now aware of it and now more likely to listen to his music in a different way, to think of them in a different way. And I think that definitely helps. And I think a lot of Earth Angels are, you know, transitioning, they're going home because they've done everything that they set out to do on this planet. I mean, Earth Angels, you know, they have particular missions of what they came here to do. And I think once they've done that, they're really happy to go home. I mean, many of the Earth Angels that have passed over recently have been star people. And I imagine they're quite happy to go back to their own galaxy,
that you say that, too, because David Bowie and Prince and Keith Emerson, all three of them feel kind of like star people to me. And the other thing, too, though, is that they were all so popular in their own ways, at least with their own fans, maybe not with everybody. Like, for example, I didn't really know Prince's music, but David Bowie's I really did, and Keith Emerson's oh, my gosh. My friend Robert Berry was in a band with Keith Emerson and Carl Palmer. It's a band called Three. And I actually like that album better than the other Emerson, Lake & Palmer albums.
Mm-hmm.
But they are all so incredibly talented and creative. But they also had so many people wanting things from them, I'm sure. And so... Mm-hmm. That would be difficult as well, you know, where you don't feel like you're just you and you don't know for sure why people want to be with you, whether it's because you're famous or because they just love you.
That's the thing, and also I think Earth Angels, they have come here for other people. They've come here to help others. They've come here to serve others and, you know, being themselves and doing things for themselves. And it comes secondary to most other things. So, you know, it can be quite sort of a tricky thing. I mean, I'm always telling Earth Angels, like, you need to put yourself first every now and then, otherwise you're going to burn out. You know, otherwise it's just
going
to be too much and you're not going to be able to continue doing what you love doing. It's kind of a tricky balance, really. And I think also that Earth Angels generally don't really have a problem with, you know, going home. They don't really have a problem with the transition because they know that, you know, they came from somewhere pretty awesome. And they just, you know, they're fine with that. And I think,
it's hardest on the people that are left here is the thing, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's the people left behind who find it the hardest. I think people who are, you know, who go home, they're just like, woohoo, you know, I'm back kind of thing. It's, you know,
I was really thankful that I had discovered Abraham Hicks and learned about the idea of a transition before my mom passed away, which was almost 10 years ago. This October it'll be 10 years. And I've been able to feel her with me the whole time, and I write questions on a piece of paper, and then I meditate, and she answers me. And it's just, you know, I love it. But I feel her with me as long as I'm in appreciation and joy in the moment, like Abraham Hicks had said. It's so true. And that has really changed for me how I feel about it, that I do feel that it's a transition, not that
Absolutely.
They're gone.
I mean, I've got sort of spirits around me all the time, and I've got a friend who's been in the other dimension for the last 10 years, and he's been with me pretty much the whole time. And he helps me to write. He looks after me. He fixes my electronics every now and then.
Oh, that's really
cool.
Handy.
Yeah, it's really handy. And he's just, he's my sort of companion there all the time. And I can just, get quiet and have a conversation with him. And I'm just like asking him questions and he'll answer. And sometimes I'm just like, oh, shush. because he's just, he just tells me the truth. He tells me how it is. So, they're really never gone. They're always with us. I mean, saying that one of the books that I wrote was actually co-written with him. So I was writing my part and he wrote his part, which was really easy to write because he was just telling me what to write, and that was simple. But he was describing how... It's called I'm Here.
Is that one of the visionary series?
Yeah, it's an individual story. It's the fourth one in the collection, though. And he was just, he described, what it was like to be in this other dimension, and he was basically hanging out with all the guardian angels. And kind of, talking to them and, he was just describing all this stuff to me, and I'm just like, wow, that's pretty amazing. And he's become kind of one of my guides, and it's not that he didn't transition, because he did, and he came back. So it was about 3 months after he passed that he turned up. Took quite a lot for him to convince me that he was here, because I didn't really have any reason to think that he would come back to visit me, because we barely knew each other when he was alive. We were in school together, we had one class together, but we were barely acquaintances, really. So why we had that connection, who knows? But he's been with me the whole time, and he's been, sort of nudging me to get on with my writing when I'm resisting writing something. Or it took me 2.5 years to finally go from him first telling me about the book that we were going to write to actually writing it.
That is so awesome. We're running out of time. We've only got a couple minutes left. And I just wanted to have you mention that you're going to be doing book signings. And what cities do you still have book signings in for your U.S. tour?
So the next one is at Spirit's Child in Tucson, Arizona, and that's this Friday evening. So all the details are on my website, but they've got one in L.A. on the 17th, and that's at Mystic Journey, at the Mystic Journey bookstore. And I think that's in the evening as well. It's either 6 or 7 o'clock. I'll have to, give people my website, then they can have a look. And then after that, it's Portland and then Seattle. All the details are there.
I'll mention those in my e-newsletter that I put out today about the show too. Oh my gosh, I have so many more questions for you, but we have almost no more time. So what would you like? We have about a minute left. What's something really quick you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Just that, even if it seems completely impossible to do what you feel like you came to this planet to do, to just go for it. In whatever way, shape, or form that you can make it happen, with whatever resources you have, with whatever knowledge you have, just go for it. Don't wait until you have enough money, until you have enough time, until you have enough whatever you think that you need to do it. Just go ahead and do it, because you will learn and grow with it. And, this book has changed and evolved so much since the first edition, I can't even tell you. But I just did it. I just, I did it with what I had at the time, which wasn't very much, and if I hadn't taken that step and published it in the first place, then I wouldn't have connected with all the people that I have, and I wouldn't be writing, and publishing 2 books a year now. So just go for it.
Just go for it.
Just do it, because there is nothing bad that can happen from it, because if you are following your dream, if you're following your mission, then it'll work.
That's wonderful advice. Well, thank you so much, Michelle, for being on my show, for writing your books. Thank you, everyone out there, for listening. And I really appreciate you being on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been great.
You're welcome. Bye for now, everyone. I'll be back next week.